Ephesians 5. Let's do it. Yes, Ephesians 5. We looked at this verse a few weeks ago, but we're going to kind of start there and jump off of it. So 3 weeks ago, I'm trying to think how many weeks back it was. All right, so what was the first thing that we talked about from Ephesians 5, and then we jump back to Genesis 3, the correlating scripture there, how that therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, hold fast to his wife, the two shall become one flesh, and that idea. So what were kind of our key words that we used starting back with that one? First one was, we do what? Starts with an L. Leave. All right, good. And then the second one was, it rhymes with leave and starts with CL, cleave. So we leave and then we cleave. And then what was, I think it was last week we talked about the other two from, these might be a little bit harder to come up with, but they were both L, or all three were L words. Anybody think they can think of one L word that men are to do in regards to their wives? Love would be a good one. All right, so we leave, we cleave, we love, and then another L word. Lead, good. And then the last thing we do, we kind of wrapped up quickly on this one, thinking about providing for them, that realm, but it's an L word. Adam was commanded to do it even before the fall in the garden. Huh? Nope, we already said love, lead, and something that we all get up and go do every day. We call it work, but there's another word for it. Labor. Good. All right, so we leave, we cleave, we love, we lead, and then we labor. So, and we talked a little bit about what's involved in laboring, that it's more than just working a job and making money. We are to be the provider and protector for our wives and children. But it goes, you know, we talked last week, I think, a little bit more about that. But so kind of shifting gears here, Ephesians 5:16, it says, verse 15, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. And I know we dealt with that several weeks ago about making the best use of time. But I want to talk tonight a little bit about this idea of busyness. So when we labor, when we work, what are the, and of course we're commanded to do that. And I know, you know, men that are in the military are kind of at Uncle Sam's beck and call, and you don't have a lot of control over your schedule. You kind of have to do what they say. But within the realm of what is available, and for those that can kind of work their schedules a little bit better, what are the potential results of being too busy, or the downsides of that? All right, a mile wide, an inch deep, so you don't have a lot of depth to your relationship. What else can happen if you get too busy? As far as your marriage is concerned, I mean, I know there's a lot of other ramifications, but just within your relationship with your spouse. Josh. Okay. So, good. All right. Okay. Trying to take some of what you guys are saying and fit it into some of what I have, which is, that is one of my points that I'll get to. I might just hear what you say and then we'll kind of just run through what I have. It might make it easier. But your wife won't feel loved, and you know, the temptation then would be there for her to try to find another listening ear or someone else to talk to, someone that she thinks understands them better. So good. All right. So that idea. What else?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so when you have children, especially sons, then the son won't, you won't be spending time with your son, and you won't have an impact on him or help to teach him things about being a man. All right, so I would probably lump all these, everything you've said, Josh, so far into insensitivity. That would kind of be the word that I would choose for that one. You're being insensitive to your wife. All right. Any other thoughts? Crickets, crickets, crickets. How happy is someone if all they're ever doing is working? what's that? What? Okay. Yes. And there's not a lot of real joy, you know, at some point, you know, that might be, you know, certain times. And, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, if people that enjoy being busy, people that enjoy working, you know, there are kind of ebbs and flows in that, you know, and surges. And so you might surge to get a project done. But, you know, you realize, you know, hey, once this is over, you know, there's kind of the downtime, and, you know, I can kind of enjoy, you know, some downtime. The problem with never having that downtime is it's just a constant go, 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 go. And, you know, not ever seeing the light at the end of the tunnel kind of idea. And so you at some point you run out of gas, or you just kind of just throw in the towel kind of thing. And so you end up lacking the joy that you once had. And the issues that come within a marriage then, or with a spouse, is, you know, this, you know, your wife will say, you know, hey, can you do, you know, fill in the blank, can you fix this? And, you know, can't you see I'm busy? I don't have time for that. Or, you know, I've got to get this done right away. I don't have time for, you know, and it, what comes across is I don't have time for you. You know, I'm so busy doing this, that, and the other. You know, I just don't have time for you. Don't bother me with that. It, you know, can it wait another day? Can it wait another time? You know, I don't want to worry about that. I have all these other things I'm worrying about. I don't want to worry about stuff when I get home. And that drives a wedge between that relationship. Any comments on that one? All right. What's the other? What's another thought process when you are busy and you have lots of things that you're trying to accomplish, and you're thinking, okay, if I just get this done, or if I just get that done, what ends up happening? All right, time keeps passing by. All right, so in essence, you're living in the future. You know, you keep saying, well, when I get this done, when I get that done, or, you know, when this is over, or when I reach this milestone, and, you know, the next thing you know, your life's over and you haven't really done anything that you thought you were going to do. You know, the same applies with children. And, you know, Corey and Jessica, I mean, you have them from young to older now, adults, you know, and I think, but, and Paul, you guys do too. But, and I think you've probably learned, you know, enjoy the stages of your children. That was one thing I really tried hard with our two girls. It was just enjoying whatever stage of life they were at. You know, and you hear so many other parents, you know, from, you know, picking their kids up in the nursery or whatever. I can't wait till, you know, they're out of diapers, or I can't wait till they walk. I can't wait till they, you know, can't wait till, you know, and it's like, you know, just enjoy them where they're at, you know, because one day they're going to be grown and gone, and yeah, they still do come and visit, but it's just not the same. What's that? What? Yes. Well, yes, even when they're teenagers, because it's more time to pray for them. What? Yeah. But, you know, don't live in the future. You know, live, you know, try to focus on the now. You know, and that was, you know, when our girls were growing up, you know, there were many times I'd come home from the office and, you know, we did have rentals back then. And, you know, and I knew, okay, you know, I'm going to come home, eat dinner, but, you know, I got to go do, you know, fix something or take care of something at the with the mobile homes. And, you know, Lauren would be like, you know, Dad, can we go on a motorcycle ride? It's a great, great weather. You know, and in the back of my head, I'm thinking, oh, I got so many things to do. But I just say, you know what? You're right. Let's go for a ride. And I take 30 minutes, and, you know, in my mind, it was, you know, it's worth a 30-minute investment to spend time with my daughter. You know, so if I don't get home till 12:30 instead of midnight, so be it. You know, she'll be in bed, and all she'll remember is Dad took me for the motorcycle ride, and we had fun together. What's that? Yes, right. So, and, you know, it's that idea of, you know, don't, you know, kind of that song that, you know, I'm gonna really age myself here, but, you know, the cat's in the cradle with the silver spoon. Okay, yeah, okay. Have you ever heard that, Clint? Okay, all right. So, you know, it's the whole concept of, you know, if you never have time for your children, one day when you want to spend time with them, they're not going to want to spend time with you. Kind of idea. So don't live in the future. And the same could be true with your spouse. You know, at some point, if you never have time for your spouse, then at some point when you want to spend time with them, they're going to be like, you know what, forget it. You know, that time's come and gone or passed, possibly. And then, as Josh was mentioning earlier, that this idea of being insensitive to things. Now, with that said, though, since we understand that we are sinners, since we understand that neither spouse is perfect, what is something that we really need to strive to work at having?
Grace.
Okay, grace. Forgiveness.
Patience.
Patience, good. You guys are coming up with, like, really fancy things. Yeah, just like thick skin. Yeah, just have thick skin. Just realize, you know, sometimes my spouse is going to say something or do something, and, you know, don't take it personally. Just realize, you know, they've had a long day. They don't feel well. Something will happen. Again, it could be a million different things, but, you know, they spoke out of turn, they said something, you know, they did something, and, you know, it's out of character for them. So, you know, just give them the bye. You know, don't jump down their throat at it. Just realize, you know, like, wow, like, okay, they don't usually act like that, so something must be going on. And that's how you kind of process that. And, you know, if you want to address it later or talk about it later, you know, that's fine. I'm not saying don't do that, you know, at a better moment. You know, you could say, you know, hey, earlier you said something, it was a little harsh, or it was out of character. You know, hey, what's going on? You know, is it something you need to talk about? You know, so be sensitive at both moments. You know, the moment when something is said or done, that you're not going, okay, you know, they're in a bad mood, so I'm just going to, you know, really drill down now and make it worse. You know, just at that point, back off. And just realize, all right, you know, something's not right. And, you know, let me just kind of feel through it. Maybe it's just later I'll come back and ask or talk about it. And talk about it then. Because in verse 17, you know, when we go one verse after that, it says, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So this idea of this foolishness and understanding. So how, you know, thinking about the will of God in a marriage, or ultimately, in a marriage, but outside of that even, how do we know what God's will is? Or how could we, if we had to wrap up God's will in one big umbrella? All right, preaching the gospel. All right. All right. So as disciples, we are to preach the gospel, make disciples.
Prosper.
All right, to prosper. All right, we're to all right, seek justice, walk in mercy. Is that what you said?
Sure.
Well, I'm just trying to. Yeah. No, I was just trying to hear. But walk humbly with your God. That was from Micah, if I remember correctly. All right. Anybody else have an idea or a thought? So as we go through life day by day and as we're making choices, how would we discern between two maybe good things or two, one good, one better kind of idea as to what God's will might be in different choices that we have? Okay, it might not fall down to, you know, it might not have anything to do with proclaiming Christ or, you know, evangelizing or, you know, anything like that. Just might just be within, you know, ourselves. Okay. All right, good. You're starting to come down the road that I was hoping that you guys might. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians, "Finally then, brothers, we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus that as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to please God just as you are doing, that you do so more and more, for you know what instructions we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each one of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor, not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one transgress and wrong his brother in this matter, because the Lord is an avenger in all these things, as we told you beforehand and solemnly warned you. For God has not called us for impurity, but in holiness. Therefore, whoever disregards this, disregards not man, but God, who gives us his Holy Spirit to you. Now, concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. For that indeed is what you are doing to all the brothers throughout Macedonia. But we urge you, brothers, to do this more and more, and to aspire to live quietly, to mind your own affairs, to work with your hands, as we instructed you, so that you may walk properly before outsiders and be dependent on no one." All right, so if you could pick, I know this is really probably a hard question, but if you could pick kind of one word to sum up what Paul just told them to do, is to live how? Paul, if you're going to do a fill-in-the-blank test, it says Paul told the Thessalonians to live blank. All right. If you had to pick one word, what would that be? A way that pleases God in one word. Melissa? Holy. Good. You know, just live holy. Make every choice about holiness. And you know, we've got to be mindful of that. You know, and we could, you know, in my thought process is, you know, that God's will for each of us is for me to live holy, for me to individually be holy in my life, because that brings honor and glory to him. And so, yes, you know, the other things that you guys mentioned, yes, that is the will of God as well, but in and of, or for me individually, for us individually, you know, how am I going to proclaim the gospel more? You know, by living holy, by making holy choices and right choices. You know, one of the things that Paul said to the Thessalonians was what? So, you know, to live holy so that those around you see that you're different. You know, so that they can't look at your life and go, well, you know, you're a hypocrite kind of idea. You know, and that stems from the idea of living holy, making holy choices. So how do we guard our holiness? I think there's like four major areas that if we want to paint with a broad brush, we would say men probably struggle with more. I'm not going to say women don't, but with a broad brush, men probably struggle with some of these things more, or at least two or three of them more. So if we had to paint with a broad brush, what would four areas be that we would struggle with in holiness that we need to be very cautious about? Okay, our pride. All right. All right, lust. So our eyes. Okay, so we have to be careful what we view. We have to be careful what we look at. You know, and you know, we know. You know, I know when I was a kid. Growing up, not that I did. So don't get involved here, Mom, or anything. But you know, when I was a kid, you know, pornography really wasn't like that big of a thing. You know, it was like, you know, it was hidden behind the counter of the newspaper stand, and it had a cover over it, and right, yeah, or you know, it was back in a room that you know, like a little kid couldn't go in anyway. Right, you know, so it's just so different today than it was 40 years ago. Where, you know, today, if you literally Google the wrong thing, you know, that you're just bombarded with pornography. And so we've just got, you know, we have to be careful, even as grown men, being careful what we Google, being careful what keywords we choose if we're searching for something. And so just, you know, really be on guard about that. You know, and if you struggle in that area, you know, there are means of, you can get software to help, you know, prevent things from popping up, or, you know, things from leading you down a path that you shouldn't go on. You can get an accountability partner. There's lots of things that you can do to that. But our eyes are very, we've got to guard our eyes. All right, what else? Other than our eyes, what else do we need to guard? All right, our ears. You know, so how would that fit in, Beth? Like, what would we hear that would? Okay. All right. Okay. All righty. All right. So then, what's another thing? What? All right, our mouth. Things that we say, we got to watch our speech. Kind of coming back to, and I get, yeah, and yes, those are good things. I hadn't really focused on them as much. It was kind of our eyes. If we see the wrong thing, then what would the next step often be? What? Right, that's our thoughts then. You know, so we've got to guard our thoughts. You know, so we're guarding our eyes, we're guarding our thoughts. You know, we see from the Old Testament, you know, Eve and Achan both. You know, what does Scripture say about both of them? They saw, and then they coveted. So they started thinking about what they had seen, and they really wanted it, had a desire for it, and in their minds, they're rationalizing why they should have it. And then the ultimate was what? They took it. You know, they participated in it. And so we've, you know, again, that's the third step. You know, so we if we don't cut it off at the eyes, then at least as you start thinking about it, you know, ask the Holy Spirit, you know, just, you know, hey, you know, I've got to stop here. I don't want to go any farther. You know, Psalm 1 is just an awesome picture of, you know, the ungodly. It says, you know, they're walking with the ungodly, then I'm standing with them, then I'm sitting with them. So it's still, it's this progression, you know, the same, you know, seeing, coveting, taking, I'm walking, I'm standing, I'm sitting. You know, so we see a progression, a downhill progression that sin will take us on. And then I would say, you know, our eyes, our thoughts, and then our emotions. You know, it's so easy to get emotionally unattached or emotionally attached, again, based on what you see and what you're thinking. And so guard that. You know, find time to talk with your spouse and to share feelings and share thoughts and things of that nature. You know, and again, a lot of this we've talked about before, so I don't want to just say it all over again. But your emotions, and as I think Clint or Josh, one of y'all said it earlier, you know, if you're not being sensitive to your spouse and you're not listening to them, then the temptation's going to be there for them to find someone that will and to support them emotionally. You know, because we are emotional beings, and, you know, some of us have more emotion than others. But still, all of us have emotion, and all of us have some desire, some emotional desires that need to be met. And so strive to focus on that. And then lastly, I would just say be careful where you go. You know, your feet, your actions, you know, kind of reminds me of the song that we sing or we would teach our children, you know, be careful, little eyes, what you see, hands, what you do, mouth, what you speak, ears, what you hear, feet, where you go, kind of idea. Because often, once we see the wrong thing, once we think about the wrong thing, once we emotionally get attached to someone else, you know, then what's the next thing going to be? I'm going to go meet them somewhere. I'm going to go spend time with them, you know, not just online, not just texting, a phone call. You know, I'm physically going to go meet up with them, and we justify that, we rationalize that thought process, you know, and that's why it's so important that we back it all the way up to God wants me to live holy, and that guidance is for me. And you say, well, my spouse isn't meeting my needs, or my spouse doesn't this or that or the other. You know, it really doesn't matter. You know, for you, because when you stand before God one day, it's not going to be, well, God, I wouldn't have done that if she had, or I wouldn't have done that if he had. You know, if he hadn't been so busy, I wouldn't have done it. No, God's going to judge you for what you did and how you did. And so, you know, your goal is for you to live holy, for you to make proper and holy choices. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the lessons that we can learn from it. I pray that you'd bless the remainder of the week, and that you would help those of us that still have moms that are alive, that we would honor them, and that we would do something special for them this weekend as we take a day just to remember our moms. And we pray for those that who don't have, whose moms have passed, and just pray that you would comfort their hearts as well. In this time, they'd have good memories. In Christ's name, amen.